Chapter 1 High on a rain-drenched hill, Cora Carpenter set down her mug of tea and stared out the kitchen window of her bungalow. The stream of chatter from the children in her daycare had ceased, leaving the quiet of a cloudy California afternoon. She didn't focus on Evanville's town square below, which she easily spotted from her window. Soon, the square would boast hundreds of twinkling white lights as night fell, or, if she opened her window, the faint sounds of a community concert might drift up to her. The window remained closed, the concert quiet, because one weekly chore pervaded her thoughts. She dreaded grocery shopping on Thursdays, and today was Thursday. Never much of a cook, she found preparing a spread for a single person, namely herself, was disheartening. Not to mention it emphasized she was alone, without anyone to share meals or companionship. She blew out a sigh. So it was no big deal, right? Wrong. Perhaps it was society's lofty expectations. Every television commercial promoted sharing holiday festivities with a partner. Not her, though. She wouldn't expose herself to the hurt that inevitably followed. She turned as Jack, her brother, breezed into the kitchen. Bald, sporting a thin black mustache and older than she by a decade, he told everyone he was a confirmed bachelor. "Smells good in here." He made a beeline for the cinnamon cookies on the counter. "Are you holiday baking already?" "Cinnamon and cream cheese are key ingredients." She gestured to the trays. "Try one."
"Only one?"
He snatched a handful. "Or take a dozen. A couple of the older children and I baked them for you and the nurses at the hospital."
"Much appreciated."
He craned his neck to peer out the window. "By the way, Evanville pulled out all the stops for the holidays, complete with a strolling Christmas tree."
"I don't remember anyone mentioning a strolling tree," Cora said.
"It's an innovative idea by the town council's think tank."
"Our town council has a think tank?"
He winked between bites.
"More like the mayor and his wife. You'll notice the tree when you visit downtown."
"How jolly."
She lifted a snowman mug to her lips and gave her reindeer earrings a toss. "What's more festive than a walking tree?"
"A strolling tree," he corrected.
"And there's something even more exciting. The live nativity? The annual candy cane eating contest." Dramatically, he enunciated every word. "A favorite of yours because you've won 3 years in a row." When he didn't reply, she asked, "Are you entering?"
"I probably should give other people a chance."
He sported a smug grin.
"But I won't. Besides, all the extra sugar in candy canes leads to only one result."
"Which is?" He poured a mug of coffee for himself.
"Obesity."
Despite herself, Cora laughed at her brother's good humor, his acceptance of himself as an overweight man. Lighthearted, embracing the comedy in life, he pushed away the loneliness in her chest.
"Are you participating in the hospital's 5K charity run?"
he asked. She smoothed her khaki-colored sweatshirt, embroidered with the likeness of a cherry red cardinal. "Sadly, I'm out of shape."
"You're lanky and lean. Me, on the other hand?"
He patted his protruding stomach. At 6 feet and 300 pounds, Jack was at a weight many people, including his doctor, labeled as morbidly obese.
"The run is important to me," he went on, "because it benefits Project Nutrition."
He grabbed a napkin to wipe his mouth and tossed it in the trash.
"Needless to say, I'll be walking."
"I read about the program," Cora replied. "They implement cost-effective strategies such as adding iron to food to help cut childhood anemia."
"Malnutrition contributes to a number of developmental delays."
As always, Jack spoke passionately when talking about kids. He was a nurse in the children's ward at the local hospital. Both he and Cora had chosen child-oriented occupations,
and they loved youngsters, although neither of them were married nor had children. He set down his mug and picked up a paper and pen.
Are you taking notes on how many candy canes you're required to devour in order to win the contest? Cora joked.
Nope, I already know.
How many?
He zipped his lips with his fingers.
She chuckled at the image of a secretive Jack sitting at a table piled high with candy canes in the festively decorated town square.
I'm an organized person and preparing my holiday shopping list, he said.
Right now?
Why not?
Sheepishly, he grinned.
What's your Christmas wish this year, Cora?
She tapped her fingers on the counter. I can't think of anything special.
December 25th isn't far away. You must have an idea.
Honestly, I don't. She squinted at the paper as he quickly jotted numbers. What are you writing?
My ideal weight.
He presented a guilty smile and set the pen down. And have you decided whether you'll fly to Nevada with me to visit Mom?
Maybe.
He let out a frustrated sigh.
That's not an answer.
Cora turned and began wrapping the cookies for him to take with him. She exhaled, only then recognizing she'd been holding her breath. In truth, she'd made her choice. Their mother Zoe had raved for weeks about her latest beau, and Cora suspected that adult children would be in the way of this fresh romance. Their visit might result in an awkward situation. Jack apparently harbored no such qualms.
Well,
he counted off the days on his fingers until Christmas.
I'll stay in town,
Cora replied. If any of my childcare parents are working extra shifts, they'll call for me to watch their kids.
You deserve a week off.
I want to be available just in case, but we'll plan to take time off between Christmas and New Year's. She provided a small smile. We'll agree on a rain check for me to visit Mom, okay?
Don't you want to accompany me on my first solo flight?
She stiffened.
You're flying a plane yourself?
A commuter plane. I finally earned my pilot's license, and it's an hour flight from California to Nevada. At Cora's frown, he smiled reassuringly.
My instructor offered to fly with me.
Olivia? Cora's mind raced with the possibilities. The woman with the curly auburn hair down to her waist who recently graduated from college?
One and the same. After 60 hours of flight time, 30 of flight briefings, and 40 hours of ground school, I'm ready.
To date or to fly?
Both.
He hooked an arm around her waist and twirled her, singing, I'll be home for Christmas. Laughing, she leaned against the counter to shake off the dizziness.
Are you abandoning bachelorhood for a woman 15 years your junior?
Me?
A man who prizes my unmarried status?
He looked out the window again and cleared his throat.
Have you spoken to Dad? I realize you might still be angry at him, what with his tendency to try to control our lives.
Tendency to control?
Yeah, more than a tendency.
Jack gave a quick laugh.
Well, have you?
I've reached out to him. She chewed her bottom lip. She had no desire to revisit that argument. Her father's vocal opinions had left her panicked and embarrassed. In short, he'd been opposed to her dating the man she'd met online because he believed he was a con. She'd refused to listen. Her father had never liked any of the men she'd dated. Then he'd chided her for being a silly, desperate fool, and they had quarreled. Wasn't it her decision as a grown woman to date whoever she pleased? Besides, she wasn't desperate. Was she? Mentally, she reviewed her childhood. Her father had always criticized her, especially after he and her mother had divorced. Don't wear revealing clothes. Don't attend any university except the one he selected. His overbearing demands of how she should behave had become the thread mark of their conversations. Now, she was sorry for the argument because she'd raised her voice to her own father. He'd been right. She swallowed the lump in her throat. Weren't most decisions easier in hindsight? Don't be offended by Dad's outburst.
Jack retrieved a worn teddy bear from the floor and deposited it in a plastic bin.
Refuse to let a scam artist ruin your Christmas.
She accepted Jack's words in the vein they were meant, encouragement from a caring older brother. Thankfully, he didn't press her for more details.
So, what's your wish?
He repeated. She surveyed the kitchen. The cabinets that hadn't been painted in a decade, the leaky sink faucet, the budget-friendly linoleum. Grimacing, she finally said,
I'd love a bright and shiny stainless steel refrigerator. A refrigerator is not a Christmas wish.
When it's 20 years old and formally belonged to our parents, then it constitutes a wish. She nodded to the pen.
Write that down.
Mom and Dad split long ago, and you can't break up with your refrigerator. He pinned her with a thoughtful gaze.
Think of something else.
A dishwasher to replace the one I never had? He tapped his foot and snatched another cookie before she could wrap it.
Nope.
A shelving unit for baby board books? She stepped into the living room. Better yet, a chest full of educational toys.
I meant a special wish for you.
Jack peered at the wall clock.
My hospital shift begins at 3. Keep thinking, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Okay. I'm off to complete my least favorite task.
Grocery shopping? You know me well.
She pushed a strand of hair from her face. She didn't fuss with her appearance. She'd always preferred to style her dark hair in a short pixie cut, but lately had let it grow out. Who had hours for fancy grooming while watching youngsters all day? Jack placed his mug in the sink.
You'll stop at Olive's Diner first?
I'm a creature of habit. She shook her ponytail free and dug through her purse for the key to her 10-year-old Chevy. A meal at the diner definitely brightens my Thursdays. On the drive to town, she mulled over Jack's Christmas wish question and chided herself on her responses. Instead of materialistic or self-centered items, she should wish for something that benefited others. Her mind wandered, taking inventory of her to-do list. Home decorating, gift-giving, writing out cards, baking. Once, she'd treasured the Christmas holiday. The days were thrilling, not demanding. Lately, endless activities screamed to be accomplished. What did it all mean, the frantic rush to accomplish everything by New Year's? Was it acceptable to think of herself? She switched on her car radio, and the melodic strains of A Holly Jolly Christmas came through the speakers. Would she ever reach a place when the holidays didn't retell what had vanished from her life? She believed that Gregory Panza loved her, and they would spend Christmas together on the beach in Florida. He'd promised. Unfortunately, he never existed. Burl Ives continued crooning about the best time of the year, and Cora sang along. One constant hadn't changed. Her love of music. 30 minutes later, Cora sat at her preferred booth in Olive's Diner, enticed by the scents of buttery mashed potatoes and a pot roast simmering with root vegetables. Comfort foods. Timeless and hearty staples. She rotated a string of Christmas oldies in the jukebox every week while she ate. Today was no exception, and she fed the jukebox enough coins so that Elvis Presley repeatedly belted out a tune about his blue Christmas. Oliver, the owner and an amiable man in his 30s, stepped to the booth and poured her a cup of coffee.
How are the peanut butter cups?
He asked. She touched her hands to her lips.
Delicious, as always.
An ideal end to a wonderful meal.
Thanks to Sally.
The pride in his tone was apparent.
It's her recipe.
Yes, so you've mentioned. A million times. Oliver's hazelnut eyes lit with warmth whenever he mentioned Sally Elliott. They'd met the previous Valentine's Day when she and several other customers had been stranded at his diner because of a violent storm. She was a chocolatier and owned a candy shop in Bloomingfield, a couple hours' drive from the diner. Sally and Oliver had created the recipe that night